The Drum Corps History Podcast, Episode 8. The Drum Corps History Podcast, a deeper look into Drum Corps history. Today's episode, the St. Vincent's Cadets. Welcome back to the Drum Corps History Podcast. My name is Ron Allard from Dice Man Radio. Today we're going to discuss the St. Vincent's Cadets, arguably one of the best drum corps of all time. The following comes from A History of Drum and Bugle Corps, Volume 2, published by Steve Vickers of Drum Corps World. This article was written by Reverend Gerald A. Marchand. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Psalms 116:12. With this prayer as his lifetime God, in June of 1938, the newly ordained Father Edward F. Wotyka of Polish heritage knocked on the door of the Irish parish of St. Vincent de Paul in the oil city of Bayonne, New Jersey, to introduce himself to the pastor, Father Joseph F. Dolan, as his new assistant. Little did either of them realize how we would forever change the city, the parish, and the world of drum and bugle corps. His assignment as the moderator of the Boy Scout Troop 25 would be the launching pad for Vinnie's when committeeman Henry J. Varinall suggested they start a Boy Scout drum corps. In 1941, with the expenditure of $35 for secondhand drums and bugles and a cymbal and a half, they proudly marched in the annual Memorial Day parade playing their one and only song, John Sousa's The Thunderer. During World War II, it became common for communities to raise a large banner above their main street with stars representing the number of boys from the community who were serving in the armed forces. At each flag raising, community leaders would give motivational speeches and prayers and song. Marshall musical groups were the cream on the cake, and St. Vincent's cadets were always happy to oblige. The usual pay was $50, and it was one of the few ways available for raising money to cover expenses for the Corps. The Corps accepted every opportunity, and in recognition of its record appearances in 1942 at these flag raisings and other patriotic functions, the St. Vincent Cadets received the first place award for New York and New Jersey, sanctioned by the VFW, the American Legion, and the Chamber of Commerce for appearing at 52 events. Though in 1944, 1945, and 1946 they won the New Jersey VFW State Championship, their first taste of national success was realized in Harvard Stadium at the 1946 VFW convention in Boston. The summer of 1946 was the year Sergeant Michael H. Patron, well known to many as Mickey Patron, assumed the drill instructor position. Mickey Patron was an Army sergeant in World War II, serving with a tank division in the European theater. After the war, Patron, a bugler, got involved with the St. Vincent's Cadets at the behest of the Corps' founder, Monsignor Wotyka. Patron, completing his military service in March of 1946, was recruited as a drill instructor for the Corps, which had recently retained its state championship by capturing first place at the VFW State Convention. His marching and maneuvering innovations, Jim Donnelly's music, Vinnie Serbone's percussion, and ultimately the tenacity of the Corps earned the organization its first VFW championship in September of 1946. In 5 years of operations, the Corps had won 15 trophies, including 3 New Jersey State Championships and the coveted VFW national title. The success of the early days was accomplished by playing mostly marches, including Conquest, El Capitan, Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean, Triumphal March from Aida, Under the Double Eagle, Washington Post, and Colonel Bogey. Thank you. At the time, Scotty Chappell of the Princemen and Patron and Donnelly of St. Vincent's were revolutionizing drum corps music and marching. Chappell adopted the horn's rotary valve to the bugle's tuning slide and thereby made it easier to play chromatic pitches, and Donnelly developed the French horn bugle. Added to the soprano, baritone, and eventually the bass baritone bugle, it made it possible for him to allow St. Vincent's cadets to introduce both the French horn and show music to the drum corps world. In the competitive world from 1944 to 1959, St. Vincent's won 44 titles, including 11 VFW and American Legion national titles and 18 state titles, culminating in 1951 and 1952 when they won the round robin twice, that is, the VFW and American Legion national and state championships. They were the only corps ever to do so. Dan Feldstein expressed their accomplishments well in a Drum Corps news article from October 20, 1971, 10 years after the Corps' demise. He wrote, "The St. Vincent's cadets must be considered the Corps that, more than any other, was responsible for the modernization, the revolution of Drum Corps that took place right after World War II in style and perfection. They moved and stayed way out in front of their contemporaries, playing the lead role to set performance standards and establish principles of showmanship. Perhaps no other corps in history ever so completely dominated drum corps as did St. Vinny's. More than anyone else, they are legendary." From 1950 through 1954, St. Vinny's lost only two contests, of which one was questionable. They went 3 years in a row without a single loss. From 1946 through 1956, they won 9 VFW national titles, and 1 year they didn't go. From 1944 on, St. Vincent's cadets won 15 out of possible 15 VFW state titles. St. Vincent's marching musical style and repertoire using instruments of the 40s and 50s was closer to today's look and sound than any other choir of that period and most of the choirs of the 60s as well. The St. Vincent Cadets are remembered to this day for their championship girl color guards and succession of title-winning drum majors such as Marie Dugan, Betty Russell, and Adina McGreedy, all of whom developed new field leadership techniques that are widely emulated today. St. Vinny's was the first choir to sponsor huge extravaganzas such as the Dream Contest. In training methods and organizational structure, as well as techniques of financing, they achieved a degree of efficiency and sophistication not only totally unknown at the time, but which other choirs were unable to imitate. The famous Father Wotika and Mickey Patrone teamed up as architects and engineers of this all-time great. This observer regards the St. Vincent Cadets of New Jersey as, without a shadow of the doubt, the very greatest junior drum corps in our entire history. In terms of competitive achievement, their record in other aspects, and in their contributions to present-day drum corps, they have to be the finest. There is no other. At one time, St. Vincent's fielded three distinct corps at the same time, an all-girl corps, a junior corps, and a big green band. In fact, the junior corps had its own identity and following and was a pretty good competitor. This went on for a few years until, in order to survive, a merger of the two boy corps into one big corps was necessary, and from then on, the junior corps was a feeder for the big corps. Eventually, by demand of the young parents prodded by their offspring, a youngster corps known as the Diaper Brigade was also formed. The scene of babies just out of diapers with drums and bugles marching throughout the neighborhood in imitation of their older brothers and sisters was a sight to behold. They, too, were now part of the social scene. For their older brothers and sisters, the military ball was the social event of the season, as it was for all drum and bugle corps members of the day. The first annual military ball sponsored by St. Vincent's was on February 12, 1944, and 127 drum and bugle corps from New Jersey, New York, and other neighboring states were invited. The boys decked out in their dress uniforms and the girls in their formal gowns created an imposing picture as they graced the dance floor at the very first of many such events. Every year thereafter, they looked forward in eager anticipation as they spent whatever free time they could muster after rehearsals to decorate the hall. To be invited by a cadet to the ball was every girl's dream. This social extension of the core activity was one of the many indicators that fame and championships were only the byproducts of Wotika's endeavors. While receiving an award from the New Jersey Junior Chamber of Commerce, he expressed it this way when he said, "He found the core an ideal leisure time project for young men and women, one which gave pleasure to the participant while helping to build character and desire for mutual benefit. This discipline and training build sound members of our community." Nor was Wotika only interested in his own young people. The famous Blessed Sacrament Golden Knights of Newark got their start with the loan of instruments to Father Robert F. Garner, and in 1947 the famous St. Joseph's Cadets of Newark was the beneficiary of his generosity when Father Thomas J. Finnegan received the drums and bugles necessary to get started. This same interest and concern for all young people was in his mind when he conceived the idea of the Dream Contest. As Patrone explains it, "The VFW Convention, Harvard Stadium, 1946, created a real opening for the drum corps world in both junior and senior class. With true American spirit, the American Legion innovated a similar program. As with sports, so with the drum corps, separate rules and regulations were set up, one set American Legion and one set VFW. In typical American style, this raised the question as who is the best. This is where the dream came into reality." Father Wotika approached me as director of his St. Vincent's with a question. "How can we get the VFW and Legion Drum Corps, juniors and seniors, together and have a World Series of Drum Corps championships? How can we have a playoff for the best? It's a dream, but we can make a dream come true. This is the way we became the dream originators, a man of the cloth and a man of music and marching, and in 1949 the famous Dream Contest was instituted." Attendance at the Dream Contest, first in Roosevelt Stadium, Jersey City, and finally in Giant Stadium at the Meadowlands during the 34 years of its existence, rose from 12,000 fans in 1949 to more than 20,000. During those years, 17 senior corps and 34 junior corps thrilled the fans as the best of the best competed for the title of titles, Dream Contest Champions. Wotika received commendation over the years from all corners of the community. culminating in his, Patrone's, and Donnelly's introduction into the World Drum Corps Hall of Fame in 1977. In 1997, Wotika and Patrone were also inducted as honorary members of the Massachusetts Hall of Fame, and in 1998, when New Jersey Hall of Fame was instituted, they became its first members. In 1982, St. Vincent's Cadets became the first junior corps inducted into the World Drum Corps Hall of Fame as the Junior Corps of the 50s. Later, individual members were also honored. Danny Raymond was inducted into the World Drum Corps Hall of Fame in 1990 and New Jersey Hall of Fame in 2000. The Reverend William Smalley, 1999, Bob O'Connor, 2001, and Ed Brzezicki, 2002, were also inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. Yet, as wonderful as these achievements are, the accomplishment that is most treasured by Wotika, which will continue to bring honor and glory forever, is the lives that have been so deeply affected by his use of drum corps as a tool to obtain the aim of his priesthood, to enrich the lives of young people by giving back in thanksgiving for all that God has given him. More than 60 years after its inception, an active mail list of 300 still exists, with more than 100 receiving a quarterly newsletter since 1997 when All for One, One for All, the Corps History Book, was written. Reunions have been held regularly since 1969, and the successful lives of the Corps' alumni give ample testimony to the effectiveness of a drum corps in building happy and productive lives. When Wotika wrote the finale of St. Vincent's Cadets for the Drum Corps magazine Off the Line in March of 1962, in which he announced the demise of the Corps, he mentioned with understandable pride the, quote, dozen priests, the number of doctors, dentists, lawyers, engineers, teachers, and nurses, all alumni of St. Vincent's Cadets, unquote. One of the original members, George McCusker, in response to a request for comment on what the Corps meant to him for the history book, wrote, quote, we are proud of the diverse vocations of Corps members. Priests, nuns, authors, lawyers, counselors are all held in high esteem. But the one lifetime endeavor that I sense doesn't get the credit it deserves is marriage. The chief, Wotika, has to be given credit for bringing so many boys and girls together. What better training for the acres of responsibility in raising children and sacrificing for them and each other than the 95% hard work of the Corps training and 5% applause. The vast majority of Corps members' marriages have been reflective of not only family values, but the discipline and hard work required in the Corps. Marriage is just like being a Corps member, 95% hard work and 5% applause. So here's to those who have joined together in marriage, a moment of applause for the 95% hard work, unquote. Father Leo Farley, also a charter member of the Corps, in his dedication for the Cadets History Book, wrote, quote, "What this alumni has achieved makes for impressive reading, but who they have become as human beings remains the crowning achievement of Wotika's priesthood," unquote. The Drum Corps world can rightly be proud of what corps like the St. Vincent's Cadets have accomplished and continue to accomplish for the youth of America. That concludes today's episode on the history of the St. Vincent's Cadets. Please join us again next time as we take a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This episode is produced and sponsored by Diceman-Radio.com.